In the gospel, it is said, Herod was exceedingly angry and sending killed all the men children in Bethlehem and all the borders thereof. And again, in the Alleluia verse of the Mass, praise the Lord, ye children, praise ye the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it is related simply, they all died. But they died for Jesus' sake, and therefore their death, it was a real martyrdom. And the Church calls them by the beautiful name of the flowers of the martyrs, because of their tender age and their innocence. St. Bernard sheds some light upon this mystery that they be so crowned. He says, although the holy innocents could yet neither desire nor resist the sword of the soldiers for the sake of Christ, yet will anyone doubt that a crown was given to them? If you ask me, what merit could they have that God should so crown them? Let me ask you, what was the fault for which Herod slew them? Is the mercy of Jesus less than the cruelty of Herod? And while Herod could put these babes to death, who had done him no injury, may Jesus not crown them for dying for him? And hence, in celebrating these saints, the extraordinary prerogative of God's grace is the more boldly brought forth. And they are crowned in a very special way. This we learn from St. John's Apocalypse in the epistle of today's Mass. I, he said, saw the Lamb standing upon the mount, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And they sung, as it were, a new canticle, which no man could say, but those 144,000. For these are virgins following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And in their mouth there was found no lie, which is to say, they committed no sin, for they are without spot before the throne of God. How blessed were these children, blessed even for suffering this unheard of cruelty, because by the means of this they passed through this world without sin. They remained innocent. Innocence. This is what brings us close to the crib. This is what enables us to taste the sweetness of Christ during Christmas time. If you look at the nativity scene, you will see Mary and Joseph the closest to Christ. Different kinds, grades of innocence in each. Mary, being free from the very stain of original sin from her conception, she never knew even the shameful inclination to sin. Saint Joseph was conceived, as all men, with that original contamination, but he never consented to those evil inclinations arising from nature. And so we are given to understand that there are many ways in which innocence is received from God and is preserved, and it can even be regained, indeed, by a good confession. But one thing is for sure, it is better to remain innocent and not know the things of this world than to know them and thereby be obliged to fight lest it be lost. Even these holy babes, not fighting at all, are nonetheless crowned for possessing innocence. So what can we do to better foster and preserve innocence in our own, in our children? We will consider what another Saint John saw, that is Saint John Bosco, in a vision. This saint is famous for his work with the youth and the very young boys. He spent his life educating them. This is a letter he wrote to his vicars, who had the charge of the boys in his absence. It is taken from May 10th, 1884. St. John relates, "I went up to my room a few nights ago and began to say the prayers that my good mother taught me to say before going to bed, when suddenly it seemed that two of my former pupils were standing there before me in a vision. And the first one then showed me a vision of the boys of my oratory just as it had been some 15, 20 years ago. It seemed to me at that moment I was again among them, and everywhere I looked there was life, movement, and joy. Some were running, some were jumping, some skipping. Some were playing leapfrog, some were playing tag, and others with a ball. In one corner was a huddle of boys hanging on the words of one of the priests as he told them a story. In another corner, a cleric was playing with a group of young lads. It was perfectly clear to me that the greatest cordiality and confidence existed between these boys and their superiors. I was overjoyed by the sight, and my pupil said to me, 'As you can see, Father, familiarity breeds affection, and affection breeds confidence. This is what opens hearts. The boys become frank, both inside and outside the confessional, and in general, they show great docility to commands.' And at that moment, the other pupil, he now came forward and said, 'Don Bosco, would you like now to see the boys as they are today in the oratory?' 'Oh, yes,' I replied, 'for it is more than a month since I saw them,' for he was away on a trip. So, he says, the pupil showed them to me. I saw the oratory and everyone at recreation. But the cries of joy and the songs I no longer heard, nor was there the lively activity of the previous scene. Instead, boredom, weariness, and ill humor could be seen in the actions and on the faces of many, together with a lack of trust, which made me very sore at heart. There were many, it is true, who were moving and running about in a spirit of carefree joy, but I saw others, and their number was anything but small, standing by themselves, leaning against the pillars where they were a prey to disturbing fantasies, or standing on the steps or in the corridors or on the garden terraces. They were trying to get away from the common recreation. Some of them were strolling about in groups, talking in subdued voices, casting suspicious glances in every direction. And they would smile from time to time, but I was given to understand they were delighting in unclean conversation. My pupil interrupted, 'Have you seen your boys?' 'I have seen them, sadly.' Indeed, the pupil answered, 'Alas, what a lack of interest in the recreation. Here you have, Don Bosco, the reason why they approach the sacraments so coldly, why they neglect their practices of piety in the church and elsewhere. This is why many do not correspond with their vocation, why superiors meet with ingratitude, and why you get secret groups forming with grumbling and all the other deplorable consequences.' St. John asked, 'How has this happened? Do not their present teachers love them and labor zealously for them?' 'Oh, yes, indeed,' said the pupil, 'but the best thing is yet missing.' St. John asked, 'What is lacking?' The pupil answered that the boys should not only be loved, but realize that they are loved. St. John said, 'But can't they see how much is being done for them?' 'No, I repeat,' the pupil said, 'that is not enough. Well then, said St. John, what is needed? They answered that they be loved in the things which they themselves like. And St. John was still puzzled for this answer, and the pupil asked again, look again at your boys in recreation, and tell me where are their instructors? And so John looked, and he said, that there were very few priests and clerics mixing with the boys, and fewer still taking part in their games. The superiors, they were no longer the heart and soul of the recreation, and most of them, they were walking up and down by themselves, conversing together, but paying little attention to what the boys were doing. And others, they did watch from a distance, but with never a word to correct any faults they noticed. And some did warn the boys, but rarely, and when they did so, it was in a very threatening manner. And again, the pupil interrupted, let them like what the boys like, and the boys, they will come to like what the superiors like, namely virtue, study, discipline, and self-denial. If you want to see everyone of one heart and one mind again, then, for the love of God, you must break down the fatal barrier of distrust and put in its place a happy spirit of confidence. And then St. John asked, how shall we break down this barrier? And he answered, by a friendly relationship with the boys, especially in recreation. Affection can't be shown without this friendly relationship, and unless affection is seen, there can be no confidence. And he continued, he who wants to be loved must first show his own love. So our Lord, he made himself little with the little ones. He became an infant. He bore our infirmities. He is our master in this matter of the friendly approach. A master who is seen only in the master's chair is just a master and nothing more. But if he goes into recreation with the boys, he becomes their brother, as we sing of Christ during Christmas. If someone is only seen preaching from the pulpit, teaching in the classroom, or making house rules, it will be said he does his duty, neither more nor less. Whereas if he whispers but a little word in recreation, this is seen as the word of a friend. And how many conversions, the pupil said, were brought about by those few words which you, Don Bosco, whispered suddenly in a boy's ear in the thick of a game. John answered, I'll tell my instructors all you have said, but what should I tell the boys? Tell them, he said, to put an end to criticism, which makes the heart grow cold. And most of all, tell them to make every effort to live always in the grace of God. Tell them finally, both young and old, never to forget their mother, Mary. With her help, this barrier will be overcome, this barrier of distrust that the devil has so cunningly erected. From all that has been revealed to St. John, the Bosco, we may gather what but one salient question to ask ourselves. Who is it who is whispering to our children during their recreation? You can be sure it is no holy voice if they are recreating on the TV or via the internet or smartphone, modern entertainments. And you can also be sure, if you are not closely supervising them, that on these very same things, they will certainly hear the devil's voice whispering to them to sin, and to sin, sadly, very gravely. They will lose their innocence, which may God forbid we permit to happen under our very watch. If recreation, as we have just learned, is so important a part of a child's life, of even a young man's life, let us make efforts to provide honest, wholesome, even holy ones. And if at times, as even St. John experienced, we cannot be there ourselves to see to it, let us be wise in choosing him to whom we would entrust them. It may be that you cannot draw nigh to the crib of Bethlehem as a virgin like Our Lady, Mary, but we can all still share the glorious title which Saint Joseph has, Father and Protector of Virgins, Father and Protector of Innocence and Purity, which by the prayers of Our Lady, the Holy Family, and these holy innocents today, may you all be faithfully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.